All right, so what is up, guys? Welcome back to the Late Night Shots podcast, episode 60. You know, we're here. We did the NCAA brackets last time, so if you guys haven't listened to that episode, I recommend checking that one out first. This one's going to be sort of a continuation to that. We're going to be talking about some of the dark horses we see in all the brackets, actually. So, you know, we'll start with heavyweight. So,
okay.
I think you have the brackets pulled up already.
Yep.
Dude, I've been going through Flow today, and like they're, you know how they're covering the Pennsylvania State title matches, or
yep,
yeah, it's been like actually insane. I've argued so many kids the thing because Brett Unger pinned Mason Gibson in the tilt in the finals, and guys were like, oh well, he's only 15, this dude's 19. But then you have to realize, so nobody else in your state could have beaten that 15-year-old. That was just my, and then nobody said anything to it.
Yeah.
All right, you got the brackets pulled up. You want to start us off? Probably start for 125, then, right. I think.
We'll start at 125. Okay. I just really do not realistically see anyone else winning this. I mean,
where'd you find Schroeder? The brackets at, actually? I had them
Schroeder. You just go to the NCAA website. I just looked up NCAA 2021 brackets wrestling.
NCAA rest. 2021. Okay.
Yeah. Probably should. So I mean, for 125, at 125, in terms of a dark horse, I mean, yep. I guess.
Oh, where Ragusan, you find? Yeah, no, I can't find this. Official brackets here. All right, found it.
Yeah.
You got them. All right. Yeah. So
no. It would either be Ragusan or Schroeder. Schroeder can meet Spencer in the quarters. I mean, just by the logic of those are the two people who have actually managed to score on Spencer.
Personally, yeah. What do you have as your finals matchup?
I'd say that the seeding probably holds and we get Latona Lee, and then Lee wins by tech.
You have to think that Camacho and Latona will meet in the semis.
Yeah.
And it's gotten closer every time, so I don't know if Camacho pulls that out or not. But then Camacho will have Ragusan in the quarters or round of 16.
Yeah,
it's also be a tough match. But I can see Ragusan coming out of this. I can see Camacho coming out of this. I could see Drew Hildebrand coming out of this. Not Drew Hildebrand, Brandon Courtney from ASU, or even I'll be honest. That's really it. Malik Hansman didn't impress me too much. Howard, if he pulls a big one here, possibly. But that really looks to be it.
Brandon Kaler, do Washington proud. I don't.
133. Who's an actual dark horse?
133.
You have to think the top five is separating himself from everybody else in the field at this point.
Yeah.
Sixties match made from Mizzou. I would have to say Mickey Philby is the biggest dark horse.
Who?
Is Philippe even considered a dark horse at this point?
I don't really think so. I think he's just like a perennial contender that just is kind of a problem where, again, like you said, that top five is separate from himself so much.
Mm-hmm. Then just go say that he's like, he's the only one in this bracket that has a win over Dayton Fix.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's a five seed is going to present some problems.
Yes.
For the one name, obviously, Austin Santo.
Yeah.
I do have Philippi beating DeSanto in the quarters and Fix beating Philippi in the semis and Fix over RBU in the finals.
That's, I think, a good pick, a lot of
people have. I think most people have DeSanto over Philippi. It's just like the way DeSanto wrestled at Big Tens, I'm not too sure about that. What is this? It's not like broken or something, or like. You can just keep going. I'm going to figure this out. Oh, well, this is like that, I guess, then.
So, I'm just not sure that Philippi can be considered a dark horse in the traditional sense, although.
I wouldn't necessarily. I'll be honest. I don't think we can really consider him that, but I guess my mic is kind of broken right now. I don't know.
I mean, in the sense that, like, no one ever expects him to win, DeSanto would be a dark horse in that sense. But, I mean, again,
You would have to say that Philippi is just straight up overlooked at that point, right? Because that would be really how that is.
Yeah.
Just for the sole fact that, again, didn't he do pretty bad at the last one, championships?
I believe so.
Did I just break this or, like, the hell?
Something might need to be tightened, but...
Dude, I'm trying to tighten. I don't see a way to tighten this. Huh. Very interesting. Maybe. This is awkward, so I'll do. You know, keep talking. I will do something. I'll mute my mic for like a minute.
All right. 141. I don't think anyone really stands out to me on 141 outside of Ironman, Seabass, and Lee. So after how Big Tens went, I mean, shit. I mean, the logic always stands that, you know, anyone in the top five really could win it on most days, and except for heavyweight. Pretty much anyone in the top five or three can win whatever weight class. I would suppose that really just no one stands up. I mean, again, Dom Dimas or Tariq Wilson, excellent wrestlers. They're in the top five. Man, it is so hard to see just anyone getting past Seabass, Ironman, or Lee. So, yeah, there's not much to say about 141, to be honest.
All right, I should be back. Does my mic sound fine right now?
Yep.
All right, I just had the mic covered too. My bad, guys. This has never happened before. I'll probably try fixing this right after we're done recording. Yeah. But, yeah, talking about 141 again, Ironman, Lee, Rivera. It looks like a three-man race right there. It's who's having the best day wins it.
Exactly.
And again, you're going to be going up against a much fresher Ironman than you are Lee or Rivera. Just for Slovakia, they're probably going to be wrestling each other there. Yep. Again, the biggest dark horse, Chad Red.
Yeah.
That's like, can you even consider him a dark horse? Or he's just more like a high-level All-American. That's really the way you would think about it.
Yeah.
That's the way I would think about it. But
he's legit. He's really, really good. It's just that that top three is so far off from everyone else. Like, you kind of have a heavyweight situation kind of with, like, the top two in the country are, like, pretty far separated from everyone else. Except, you know, the Matt Stenzel match happened. Yeah. Top three? Yeah, okay.
That's it. I could put
the top three are so far separated from everyone else that it's just kind of hard to see anyone else winning the weight outside of that top three. Well, I don't know. That's been proven wrong before. Yeah. I was literally just watching the other day. Robbie fella from Lockhaven against Zane Rutherford in the finals. He was like the 18th seed.
Oh, Ronnie Perry. So that was a good one.
Ronnie Perry.
Still got teched. That's just rough.
It's Zane Rutherford, dude. Yeah, like,
what was his one name? Zeke Moisey from when he was at West Virginia. Garrett beat Penn Gilman. Lost to NATO in the finals. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really 149. Here's a good one.
So
Bridge
I feel like
Lovett isn't a dark Bridge horse anymore. But this is probably gonna be one of the craziest round of 32 matchups you might ever see is Bridge Lovett versus Peyton Amania. Yeah. Two huge Greco dudes. Somebody's bound to get tossed on their head. Or it's gonna be one of the most boring matches you'll ever see.
Yeah,
that's really Peyton all I can say. Peyton does have a losing record. Yep, he hit Ken Starr with 2 6-point moves. That's how he won.
Yeah.
You know, that being said, who's the biggest actual dark horse?
I think Max Mirren could bounce back.
I don't think Max Mirren's a dark horse. I think he just choked bad.
He just choked.
That's all I'm saying.
12th seed.
Yeah. If we're going here, Jarrett Deegan from Iowa State.
Yes.
Who was robbed against Pat Lugo, I'll say that. And Thomas at 25. If he wrestles to his potential, gets the right matchups he need to, I wouldn't be surprised if I see him on the podium.
Yeah.
No, I think Muren's making the podium. I don't think anybody really counts him out of that now. I think
he'll absolutely be all American.
It just kind of hurts his whole. Luckily enough, it didn't matter at Big Tens for Iowa.
Yeah.
Because Bo didn't have the best performance, and Kirk and Beer dropped in the consolations pretty bad. If they didn't, it would have been
a different story. Wait, did Bo qualify? Is he on
he did not get in that large bid.
That sucks.
Yeah, it really does. But, you know, going into 157, here's a good one. You know, as you said, Deacon, Heidley, and Carr, top three. You know, yep. The four seed Jesse Delvecchia from Ryder, not the same caliber. I've said it right now. I think Deacon wins it. I don't think he wrestles a closer match than 4 points.
Yeah.
I also think Deacon should be third in the Hodge race. Not that it matters, but at this point, let's be honest. Caleb Young is just a bitch to score on, or otherwise I think Deacon could have majored him. Yeah. But Deacon literally almost pinned Kendall Coleman with his legs.
Yeah.
Again, who's the dark horse here? You know, you scroll down a little bit.
Avante.
He's still Date, 15 seed. Exactly what I was going to say. Ja'Cory Teamer at 11. Derek Carr, dark horse. No, not really. Could he beat Heidley? He probably does. Caleb Young at a 5. Okay. Brady Burke at 12. Maybe Caleb Young if he gets a very good match. It's going to be a close one, obviously. Young isn't a big bonus guy. He wins, though.
Yeah.
Wyatt Cheats from Oklahoma State to 33. Did he cut a weight class? I think he did.
I believe so.
Yeah. He may make a good run in the wrestlebacks. I don't know about anything else, though. Coleman at 9. Coleman dropped matches Soldate at Big Tens. Rough, last second takedown. The first time it was decided in overtime. Again, you know, if they get the matchup again, maybe some boost for them. You know, we talked about what actually has to happen for Iowa to technically drop this team title to who looks to be next in this race, Penn State, right? All that is Iowa guys need to get knocked off.
Yes.
So if Caleb Young gets knocked off by Brady Burge and then drops to Coleman or something like that, that's really all that needs to happen. But this is a conversation for another day. Chase Oldate seems to be the biggest dark horse of 157.
Yeah.
Will he get on the podium?
I think he's All-American.
I do, too. So, obviously, I have Deacon first, Carr second, Heidley third. Then I have Caleb Young fourth. I think Kendall Coleman fifth, Jesse Delvecchia sixth. Then I will give Soldate 7 and Brady Burge 8.
Yeah, that's a fair podium.
Yeah, solid. And who are other guys I might be leaving out here? Maybe Willowan from Michigan, obviously. Jared Jacques from Mizzou. Justin Thomas from Oklahoma is a big one. You know, I think those guys fall kind of early in those bloods. Those are going to be the blood round guys. Yep. You know, it just depends on who can win that Rustback quarterfinal there to get in the 5th, 6th. That's really it.
Mm-hmm.
So that is going to be an interesting one to watch because I could see him placing as high as 3. As high as four. I think Heidley, Carr, and Deacon have solidified themselves as top three.
Yes.
And Deacon ran the gauntlet. You know, he dropped a match to Carr in freestyle. Freestyle, again, more suited for Carr.
Yeah.
This is more suited for Deacon just because Deacon is gigantic and he can ride on top very well. Now, I think this is going to be there. Deacon wins it. You know, I think Deacon is good enough to become a two-timer. And you have to assume that Carr is going to be the one to close the gap next year. If it just depends on how much he can close it.
I'm actually picking Carr to win it, to be honest.
You're picking Carr to win over Deacon?
Yeah.
I can see that. Again, the way he ran the gauntlet.
I get how Postal can favor Deacon, but, like, we've also seen, you know, guys who are objectively, you know, better at freestyle just still win in folk style. Yeah. Just keep it to takedowns.
Deacon already beat him, so that's what I'm saying.
That's true.
And, you know, so let's look at how Deacon has to make the run towards the finals. Who really is out on the top off the bracket? Brayton Lee, Caleb Young. That's really it. You have to assume Deacon's going to walk through Raquier Vander Murray from Stanford. Kendall Coleman, he was 14-1. Caleb Young, 6-0 win. Boomy's in the semis. Brayton Lee, probably seven, probably a major. You know, let's look at Dave Carr. Will Luan, again, a bitch to score on, probably around a major. Ja'Cory Teemer. I can see that match going either way.
Yeah.
Teemer's good. Teemer hits you with 1 6-point move, it's over.
Yeah.
Is Brayton Lee on the bottom half, or am I tripping right now?
No, he's on the bottom half, yeah.
My bad. Brayton Lee was not on the top of the break. Who's the 4 seed then? Jesse Della Vecchia, dude. Deacon either attacks or pins him.
Yeah.
No, that I like no disrespect, but like these guys are getting high seeds for like not great of wins.
Yeah.
And then if Soldate somehow sneaks past Hadley, which I think is a good matchup for him, I don't think it's gonna happen. But
yeah.
I don't Hadley seems to be one of the lesser athletic guys in the field, just based on you know, if you look at the athletic freaks in this field, Chase Soldate, Kendall Coleman, right? That just goes without being said.
Yeah.
Those are guys have upset potential. Coleman doesn't exactly help his case by having to wrestle Deacon, who's a gigantic fucking man. But yeah, no, that's being said, I got Deacon over Carr in the finals. I have it 5-3. Nothing crazy. I could very well see Deacon straight up taking him down once, riding him out. Taking him down late in the first period, riding him out. Coleman Carr picks bottom, gets ridden out, then Deacon picks top and rides him out and just wins like that. I wouldn't be surprised. This is a guy who wrote out Jason Nolf for a whole period.
That's a good point.
If you watch that match. I mean, granted, he lost 18-7, but Jason Nolf, you know? And he kind of trashed – this is before he broke out on the freestyle scene against – that huge win against James Green made to Final X.
Right.
And again – Deacon's scrambling ability, just being gigantic and being able to use his, be able to power people. You can't expose your back and freeze out. That was huge in this match with Carr. It just came down to Carr's speed kind of dominating the match.
Yes.
Now, if Deacon can prolong these exchanges and use his size to his advantage, he will most likely win the match.
Yeah.
That's just what I see. So, going down to 65, Marinelli, I mean –
it's kind of weird to say because he was such a highly, highly valued recruit. But, like, Keegan O'Toole is not being talked about very much.
That was my dark horse. That was my dark horse, but all right.
Yeah. I
think, Shane Griffith and Keegan O'Toole are my dark horses.
Yeah.
Shane Griffith at an 8 seed. I don't want to say it. I really don't.
You're going to say that Shane Griffith wins it all? Like, that's your pick?
He was my pick last season. I'll be honest. I had him over Chenzo in semis and him over Marinelli in the finals. This top half is stacked.
Yeah.
Very stacked. The thing is, Shane Griffith, if he wins his round of 32, he has Andrew Sparks most likely. Sparks was injured at
big time. Andrew Sparks is out with an injury, isn't he?
It says he's in the bracket. Wait, now. He claimed an at-large bid. He got an at-large.
Oh.
Shane Griffith has to be Andrew Sparks. Then who does he have next? Alex Marinelli. Then who else? Makai Lewis. Then he has either Anthony Valencia or who's the 3 seed right here? Now, Jake – who the fuck is Jake Wenzel? Jake Wenzel. Oh my God!
There's probably someone who's absolutely pissed for you saying that.
What about Jake Wenzel? Oh my God! I won't believe in that until I see it. But I have Keegan O'Toole. You know, I changed my mind. You know, my biggest dark horse is Kennedy Monday.
That's a good point.
I don't know how you would really do that because he's seated just because he's seated lower, even though I think O'Toole and Griffith make a higher run on the podium. Kennedy Monday is a 22 seed.
Yeah.
That's low. Travis Whitlake, Dan Bronigal, Joe Lee at 23.
Yeah.
damn, dude. Like, this one's actually insane. Valencia beat Griffith 8-1, 7-1. And that was off a 1-6 point scramble exchange. That's all it was.
Right.
The safe option would be to say Marinelli.
Yeah.
Granted, when has Marinelli ever done shit at Nationals? Marinelli just seems to be on the decline at the end of every season. I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
Because 3-2 win over Ethan Smith, that Marinelli is not going to win a national title. If that's the same Marinelli we see at Nationals.
Yeah. You know? I mean, it likely isn't. I mean, I feel like because this is his last year, so.
He has another year. Everybody's coming back. I think Keegan O'Toole, I don't want to say, but Keegan O'Toole is my pick to make it out the bottom half.
Yeah.
Him over Anthony Valencia in the semis. Because what win Brooke Montesine? He beat Ryan Anderson from Bethlehem Catholic, I think. This was back at 138. And then Anderson proceeds to commit to a Division III school just to stay home. Then everything is out the window with his career. I don't even know if he exists anymore. And then Jolie pinned Andrew Sparks in the first period.
Yeah.
But also got stuck by Ethan Smith, I think it was.
Yeah.
Very interesting. He just looks inconsistent. He looks like he tries to wrestle as high pace as like his brother sometimes. It's just like
that rapidly becomes a problem.
Yeah. Again, like Nick Lee, it came back to hurt him too. That's what lost in the match against Jaden Ironman, not picking and choosing his shots as well as he should have. You know, shooting is a dangerous game on Jaden Ironman.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, who is my dark horse though? Like, I've been trying to look through this. I'm like, oh. I think the most obvious answer has to be Shane Griffith, right?
Yeah.
But Anthony Valencia cut down from 174 last season. Griffith has one loss in the past two seasons, and he was off at scramble. I think he can take out Marinelli. Like, I truly believe that. What has Marinelli actually done? He lost to Tommy Gant in freestyle. 5-4.
I think Tommy Gant's pretty damn good.
Tommy Yan is pretty good again, but. Or was that James Green versus Alex Marinelli? No, shot.
James Green.
Are they near the same weight?
Wait, no.
Green was at 74.
And who did.
No, because I think Gant wrestled.
I think Gant wrestled Kemmerer. Right?
Huh?
I think Gant wrestled Kemmerer.
It's one of these. I think it was James Green only beat Alex Marinelli like 5-4.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. Yeah.
This was when Green was up at 74. You also have to consider that Green wrestled a tied match with Anthony Echemendia.
Yeah.
He's a freestyle dude again. He wins matches. He doesn't do his crazy shit.
Yeah, Alex Marinelli wrestled James Green. And then I think
at what weight?
It would have been 74 kilos.
74. Yeah, you know, no, that makes sense though, because again, Green's outsize is 74.
Yeah,
I had Green teching him.
Yeah, and then
I think everybody had Green teching him. I thought Green would lock up the lace pretty quickly, because I remember Alex Marinelli.
Kemmerer wrestled Gant. Yeah,
Kemmerer beat Gant.
I
don't think so, right?
I can't find the results.
Oh, well, I noticed that the Hawkeye wrestling card. That's interesting, though, to just think about.
Yeah.
Even with that being said, though, my dark horse, Mekhi Lewis cannot be dark horse. My dark horse can be Shane Griffith and Keegan O'Toole.
Yeah.
I have Keegan O'Toole.
I don't think Keegan plays outside top four.
That goes without saying. My top four are Alex Marinelli, Anthony Valencia, Shane Griffith, and Keegan O'Toole. Mekhi Lewis fifth. I don't know what order this happens. I think Makai Lewis hasn't shown much. I think we'll throw Jake Wentz on the podium just so somebody doesn't get mad at me in the comments. And I think Joe Lee may work some run for the podium. That's just bias right there. Zach Hartman from Bucknell makes a run for it. And Travis Whitley from Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
And even with that being said, you have Thomas Bulley from NC State. Biggest dark horses are what I said again. Keegan O'Toole, Shane Griffith. Can't make a pick on this one. I think the safest one to say is Alex Marinelli over Anthony Valencia, which seems like the most obvious outcome.
Yeah.
No, again.
I mean, maybe this is the year that Valencia breaks through.
Or Marinelli breaks through, for that being said, too.
That's true, yeah.
You know, I think if Griffith can make a statement here, too. And Griffith wants that win over Makai Lewis more than anything.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think these guys, they almost wrestled. I think Makai Lewis's teammate in high school prevented Griffith from being a four-time state champ. Or it was Makai Lewis. I'm pretty sure it was Stephon Glasgow, his teammate, who wrestled at Rutgers and now is just out. I think just quit wrestling because of injuries.
Damn.
Yeah. Going into 174 now. I don't want to say it, though. Even as a Penn State fan, it hurts, but I don't think anybody beats Kemmer this year. I really don't. I don't see anybody.
I feel like Donald Washington would be the easiest reach for a dark horse. I mean, he got the eyes of everyone on him when he beat Carter Starocci. Starocci.
I think he's the only one, right? I think Laviola has a great match against Kemmer. He's looked to be able to exploit the smallest holes in everybody's defense, though.
Yeah.
That's kind of the problem.
No.
DJ Washington looks like the biggest dark horse. I don't think that's changing, though, right? Personally, I like Michael O'Malley of Drexel. I will say he was robbed with that stall call in the IWA finals.
Yes.
You know, Caleb Romero has to be said, too.
I'm just still baffled by Demetrius Romero, number two seed.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah.
No, maybe he proves us wrong, though. Watch him come out and win the entire thing.
Because I've said that, goddamn.
Like, I would – no, you wouldn't be the only one. You know how many people said shit like that? Like,
yeah.
Like, I get we pick against a guy, but, like, who was the face of Utah Valley Wrestling last year? Tate Orndorff.
Oh, yeah.
That was only person I ran to you. Why? Because he had a big week. He almost beat Gable Stevenson. Beat Tanner Hall, beat Jordan Wood, beat Demetrius Thomas, and he got to number two in the rankings.
Yeah.
And this is where the Trent Hilger hype came in when Hilger pinned him in double overtime. And yep. Then Gable came back. Beat Hilger I don't think Gable ever texts Hilger unless he pins him. For the sole fact that Hilger is so good at fucking prolonging exchanges, just kills Gable's motor.
That's a good point. We're not really seeing anyone Hilger's, else with the ability to really keep exchanges long. Yeah.
Because Hilger can scramble very well. And for being a big football, for not even being a full-time wrestler in high school, is huge. You know, he's been through a little bit of a rough patch right now. If he wrestles good, I don't want to say it yet, actually, but we'll just talk about this. DJ Washington, my biggest dark horse. I think real underdog makes the finals. It's Logan Mass at a 5 seed. I hate Mass with a passion. He just pisses me off. I don't care if
he Why? What did he ever do to you?
He's an asshole, dude.
How so?
Like, you talk about Gable being an asshole. This dude would just, like,
have I not been paying enough attention?
Literally push your face into the ground when you're off the mat. He was like, no, I remember one time against an unranked dude, right? He goes up there, he goes for a handshake. He's like, no. And then when a dude ducks his handshake after he was like, oh, that hurt. I was waiting for Kemmer to do the same thing to him. Because that just seems like something that Iowa would do. And I was like, no, because you fucking deserve – bro, look at this dude's – like, no, just everything about him just screams like dickhead. I don't know what it is. Like, I don't hate Mason Parrish. I don't hate Miles Amin. I like Dylan Raguson. I like Mason Parrish. It's just – you tried to post something about Mason Parrish, like, last night. I was like, No, Mason Parrish isn't challenging Gable. Gable's sophomore year when he won his first Big Ten title. People are like, oh, you're slipping on Mason Parrish. What do you hate about Mason Parrish? Will you do this? Now I try to post something about Mason Parrish. Like, oh, that's Gable's son. That's Gable's son. Like, people switch up so fucking quick. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, I like Amin. I like Amin on 174 again. Mark Hall keeps scaring the fuck out of me when he goes like triple overtime with this man. But other than that, yeah. He's good. Right? I will stand on what I said. AJ Ferrari might just fuck around and win it all. Anyways, DJ Washington and Caleb Romero are my dark horses. What are yours?
At 174?
Yep. I got DJ Washington and Caleb Romero.
Washington and Massa, as much as you hate him, he's solid.
I don't think a 5-seed is a dark horse, though. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, but I mean, no one's really.
He I feel creates like for the no most part, offense.
Outside of like Die Hard.
He can't create offense, though. That's kind of my problem there.
I mean, he's a tough dude to wrestle, and he's stingy as hell.
Yeah, and Cameron looked to expose him, dude. That was the crazy part.
Yeah.
Anyways, 84. Who sticks out? 1, 2. Two names stick out to me.
There's two.
Taylor Venz at 8. Nelson Marin's at 12. John Pisnanski, I mean, not John Pisnanski is a 6 seed. I don't want to say it. John Pisnanski versus Aaron Brooks finals. I'm from Jersey. I have to. They do wrestle in the same conference. Wrestle in the same county as me. No,
it's hard to see anything other than a Hadley Brooks final.
No, I actually have Lily Bray, but that's just me. I mean, granted, the last match I saw the dude, he was getting exposed by Zahid Valencia, but. That was also Zahid Valencia.
Yeah.
You know, Zahid Valencia, you know, it's okay. Aaron Brooks pins him in March. It's okay. Oh, you don't remember that? You remember their match at, like, the one of the senior national things, and then they got into a fight,
and Brooks was like, I'm going to pin you in March. It got really chippy.
Yeah, no, Brooks was like, I'm going to pin you in March. Zahid's like, nah, I'm going to just start doing some crack instead. But... I'm sorry. Anyways, yeah, I got either I think Dupre versus Hadley is a big match. I think Pisnanski can take out Dupre. Paz definitely has the motor to do so. It all depends on if you can take good shots and not volume shots.
Yes.
If he beats Dupre, he beats Hadley. And he gives Brooks a match in the finals. That's my take on this. I don't think Dakota Gear gives him a fight in the round of 16, but I don't think he beats him.
Yeah.
Top F. I think if Aaron Brooks does go down this tournament, it's to Taylor Venz.
That's fair. That's a fair pick.
I think Hunter Bolin, sure. Parker Kikison from UNI. You know, I have brands coming out of that second quadrant right there. That's just me. I'm not a big fan of Bolin. I think Brands edges him out. Again, Brands is not a guy like who's bad. He's just given a low receiving because he's had a couple of losses he shouldn't have taken. You know, to Bronigal and stuff like that. My biggest dark horse is still going to remain Taylor Venz, and I'll stand on that. Because, again, we talk about AJ Ferrari. Taylor Venz may just fuck around and win it too.
Yeah.
And I would not be shocked by any means. Plus, my Taylor Venz podcast will blow up.
Yeah.
Not that I really care about that too much, but yeah.
This is all of our picks are just 4D marketing chess. It's all just figuring out who's been on the podcast, who's still wrestling.
That's why I had Deegan. No, I'm kidding. I got Trent Hoker winning heavyweight too. I don't necessarily care. I just pick guys who I like to talk to. Anyways, my biggest dark horse, again, Taylor Venz. I don't think there's another option here. I'll be honest.
There really isn't. Yeah.
I got Brooks over Hadley in the finals. John Paz third. Lou Dupre fourth. Venn's fifth, Brand's sixth. Parker, Bolin's seventh, Kekesson, or number four seed, whatever that is, eighth. I think that is the best I can really do on this, I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. 97. AJ Ferrari. I wouldn't consider that a dark horse, though.
I'm gonna root real hard for JJ Dixon, but
out of
Oregon.
OSU?
Oregon State. Yeah, real good recruit from Washington, so I'm obligated to.
Mine, Thomas Pinola from Purdue. I said it from his first match when Purdue debuted against Northwestern. I'm like, ooh. Because I remember this dude when he wrestled Gable Stevenson when he was a heavyweight last season. Wasn't pretty, but he had the motor. Kind of reminded me of like a gas tank Gary.
So the interesting thing is we would see AJ Ferrari and Amin in the semis.
Yeah, I think if Ferrari makes that far, he beats him. I don't see Ferrari losing. I hate to say it.
I can't think of a losing matchup in here for him, if I'm going to be honest.
I don't think of a matchup that plays against him. He's stronger than everybody in the bracket.
You can make the argument he's also faster.
I think Norfleet's
faster. In fact, it'd probably be easier to make the argument he's faster than him being stronger than everyone else.
No, I think they're both pretty easy to make. The dude is a generational athlete. He's not a generational wrestler.
Yeah.
You know, he's better of an athlete than Gable is. But Gable is way better of a wrestler. No, speed-wise, if you put them in a straight 40, Gabe.
You put him in a 40-yard dash? I think
AJ Ferrari. No, he doesn't smoke him. AJ Ferrari ran like 4.5. Gabe ran a 4.6. 4.6 isn't even that crazy fast at 265. If you go pound for pound athleticism, Gable's most athletic dude in the country. And it's not close. Because technically, RBY would have to run like a 2-second 40 to compete with that. And I remember one of these comments was saying, like, Trent Hoger's not shit because he lost the Gable season. And that's essentially saying RBY is not fast because he couldn't beat Usain Bolt in a race. Like, I was about to say that. I didn't want to sound stupid or anything. I was like, what the fuck are you even saying, dude? But
you're going to get that. That's going on the TikTok. People are just going to be fuming in the comments. What? You saying that AJ Ferrari was more athletic than Gable Stevenson?
He's more athletic. He's not a better wrestler. That's not – no, don't put that on TikTok. Dude, I got like a cut. I got a cut on my nose right here because I dropped a barbell on my face.
Oh, benching?
Don't worry, skull crushers.
Jesus Christ, dude!
That goes like nah. You're starting up for the 45 on each side.
Nick Reenan.
What? I like him too.
Highest of highs, lowest of lows, man. This dude wrestled David Taylor at Final X, which obviously he got ticked both times.
Nick Reenan.
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
He's still in college?
I don't know how. He wrestled David Taylor in, like, 2018.
No, I think you mean Nick Heflin.
Nope, Reenan. Yeah, I can pull it up right now.
Speaking of that, Zahid Valencia wrestled Kyle Dake, like, 2 years ago. Final X. I'm definitely tripping now, if I believe. I don't know, man.
Nick Heenan... Reenan, Russell Davis. Yep, in 2018.
All right, speaking of when we're saying some weird shit, Fix Overly.
Pardon?
Fix Overly.
I feel like that's not even really controversial. Fix is so goddamn good at freestyle.
Fix is better than Lee. I don't even see Lee making the Olympic trial finals, I'll be honest. I have Fix over Gilman. Fix over Suriano, actually. Unless Gilman has a bye. Fix beats Suriano every time in freestyle.
So in terms of dark horses at 97, yeah, AJ Ferrari, who's
Thomas Pinola.
That's barely a dark horse.
Thomas Pinola at a 19. Cam Caffey at 10. Michael Beard 15.
Kevin just has not looked the same.
I don't have Noah. I don't have Noah Adams making the podium. I said that last season. I'll stand by that again. Billy Jans are at the 33. Watch out for Rutgers. I don't even know, dude. He's low-key two-time state champ from New Jersey. Nothing crazy. Yeah. But now, weight class you've been waiting for. I think Gable Stevenson's a bit of a dark horse. I don't know if he wins it. I don't know if he wins it this year. I think the number one seeding may have been a little generous
right there. Kind of gifted to him. Yeah.
I have Mason Paris Tech pinning him in the finals.
Yeah.
No, but seriously though. Biggest dark horse goes without saying. Tate Orndorff at a 21 seed.
Yeah.
Which sets us up for Orndorff versus Lance, a rematch of the 5th-6th match in Big Tens. Crazy how one spot in Big Tens can drop you down 9 in seeding. I don't want to call this upset because if I'm wrong, it's going to look really bad.
I feel like it's not going to look as bad as the time I said Kirk was going to beat Gable.
Yeah, but so many people said that.
That's true, yeah.
Guys, like, you're way too high on Kirk. I can't just make the excuse that he's injured, even though he is.
Yeah.
It looks like it. Hilger over Stenzel in round 16.
Yeah.
But after Hilger got major by Cassiopeia, I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if Stenzel fucks around and just pins his way to the finals.
Shit, maybe.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Like, I don't know. Zach Elam at an 11. This bottom half of the bracket is made so easy for both guys until the semis.
Yeah.
Fucking Gannon Gremmel at a 6, dude. Gannon Gremmel's a nobody. Like, I hate to say it. Like, he's not a good wrestler. He's not a 6 seed in any year. Damn well not this one. Ethan Layard is a bumper from 97. Congratulations. You beat an injured Jordan Wood. Cool. He's handy with 17. You're probably going to get knocked off by Nathan Traxler in the first round. I wouldn't be surprised. You know, the biggest matchup, Carter Isley versus Hunter Kaka, doesn't really help because both of them are going to get ass ripped by Mason Paris. Let's just be honest there.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, what do you really say about that? Like, Kaka looks to be the biggest underdog. ACC Finals got robbed. It was double overtime. He got ridden out as a freshman. True freshman. Kaka can make a run for the podium, but I do say that sparingly because obviously this is my podium. Gable Stevenson, Mason Paris, Tony Castiopi, Greg Kirkfliet. That's 4. Christian Lance, 5. Schultz in front of Lance, so Lance 6. Hilger 7. Hold up. Let's put Stenzel at 3, so Hilger 8.
Right.
I think Wood just misses the podium. Luffman misses the Bloods. Elam misses in Bloods. And Deontay Wilson misses in Bloods. That might seem so stupid if I need to actually write out this bracket.
Right.
Because it's so hard to see what these actual constellations are going to be. I'm going to probably do that soon because I don't even have a printer here on campus. But biggest dark horse goes without saying, Tate Orndorff for 21. I'm assuming you agree with that.
Yeah, Tate Orndorff. And then, I mean, if you're talking about dark horses in the sense of people no one expects to win it. I got like Kirkfliet or Hilger, but
Kirkfliet has
you just don't see it happening because Gable's just that damn good.
If Kirkfliet is somehow magically 100% healthy and gets off from bottom every time, possibly. I do say this, though. Gable versus Kirk next year in the finals.
Yes. Next year, absolutely.
Paris has not improved technique-wise, in my opinion, that much. As much as Gable or anybody else in this field has. He's improved strength-wise more than anybody in this field has.
I gotta outright disagree. I'd say he's improved massively. It's just Gable has done that as well, and he seems to have done it exponentially.
I'm saying comparatively.
Comparatively.
Yeah, he hasn't improved as much as everybody else has. And that only goes to saying top-tier guys. Again, Cassiope is always going to be restricted, which is based on his style. Freestyle is obviously going to benefit him against Paris massively.
Yeah.
But now that Paris is stronger than him, it's like, oh.
Yeah.
Nathan Ward's always going to be a big dude for upsets somewhere if he latch ups you on your fucking head.
Yeah.
Dude literally is built like a fucking little Mihan Lopez. Like, dude is jacked. Schultz versus Cassiope will answer a lot of questions.
Yeah. It's going to be a hell of a match.
Stenzel versus Paris, the biggest toss-up of the tournament.
Yeah.
Stenzel looked awesome, but again, awesome against Ethan Laird isn't exactly that.
Yeah.
You didn't see him in too much of a rush to put up points, but all he needs is one bad shot.
Yeah.
Could be going for six. I'm just thinking, where does Jordan Wood fall in this? Because he's the second highest returning placer.
I don't see him outside of the top five.
I don't see him in the top five, I'll be honest. I think Gable, Paris, Stenzel, Cassiope, Kirk, top five. And then Schultz, maybe six. And then Wood, seven. Hilger, eighth. I think Hilger and Wood have to sneak their way in. I don't see any way they All-American season four and don't after. I think, again, they're going to be more motivated to perform. I think Luffman's a guy who's going to be utterly screwed. Luffman can make a run, literally, up to Kerfiat. Up to sixth, and I wouldn't be surprised.
Right.
But, yeah, I think that's really it, to be honest, right?
Yeah.
All right. Any final words?
No, not really. All that's left is, you know, it gets settled this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, next weekend. Next weekend?
Next weekend?
Yeah, next weekend. Yeah, no, I'm tripping. Because I got to make like 30 more posts for every seed. I'm probably only going to do up to like 14, which is Hilger. Maybe up to 21, which is Orndorff. Because I can't just go 14, skip all the way to Orndorff.
Hey, that's fair.
Yeah. All right. But anyways, guys, thank you guys for listening to Late Night Shots podcast. A little bit of technical difficulties in the beginning. Sorry about that. Anyways, though, I hope you guys enjoyed filming this late at night. So this either may be dropped like at around 11 p.m. Eastern time or in the morning. I'll probably try to drop it tonight. I'll just throw a link up in my story. You guys can just save and listen to it tomorrow morning if you want to. Kind of late to say that because already in the podcast. But anyways, thank you guys for listening. It's been episode 60 of Late Night Shots. We'll see you guys again next time.
All right, peace.